While we cannot manufacture moments, we can absolutely depend that God comes in moments like these, and that He is so willing. As we were thinking and planning and praying for this day at the start of a centenary year, we felt there was an opportunity to call the ministers and leaders of our movement to a moment, to moments, and that God would answer our hearts' cries. And so we've looked at that sense of consecration, opening ourselves and pouring ourselves out again, making room in our hearts for Him. And in just a moment, Kevin and David are going to come and share with us this next movement of the Spirit amongst us today, into commissioning and into that wider sense of Him filling us, receiving His power for what's to come. But just for a moment, I wonder if you would just close your eyes and prepare your heart for what's to come. Duncan put some of the phrases of our hopes and expectations for defining moments of our history and our future into something that I think is just really stirring and challenging. It's at the front of the book in honoring our past, introducing it. It's called Defining Moments. It's that moment when everything clicks. It's a yes moment. It's a together moment. It's an I was there moment. It's that moment a soul is saved, a life is filled, a body is healed. It's a moment that defines a generation, that shapes a movement, that creates a people. It's that moment when the past and the future collide with the present, when prophetic imagination is ignited, when a compelling vision is cast. It's a moment that propels fired up disciples into mission, that moves followers further and faster, that compels believers to radical devotion. It's a moment that demands consecration, that calls for sacrifice, that requires face down surrender. It's that moment when the wind blows, when the fire falls, when the earth shakes. It's a holy ground moment. It's an immeasurably more moment. It's that moment, one space, one people, one God. Lord, we open our hearts and our together lives and our movement, and we ask that this would be a moment when You fill us again with Your power. And everybody said, amen. David and Kevin, put your hands to encourage them.
To say, you know, we were talking about brothers earlier, but when Chris was stood there, I couldn't help but think about fathers and sons, because you know the book and a lot of the work that's gone in, and I need just felt in my spirit to say Chris has really done an awful amount of work behind the scenes for today. And I know Chris, your dad left a wonderful heritage, and here you are, brothers and fathers and sons, and so we're just so up for what God has got. So let's give Chris a big round of applause, shall we?
Thanks, Kev. Got my hands full here. Isn't this great? If you're somebody who doesn't feel anything, you know, can I just tell you, he's here. This is what it's like. If you're a thinker, not a feeler, then start with this one, because this is a good place to be. I mean, I just love to be in His presence, and I love the fact that we're a Pentecostal denomination, because the anointing is what we really need right now. And I don't know about you, I used to be an accountant, and there's been a few times in my life I thought, oh God, and He said, do you want to go back? I said, no, Jesus, I love ministry, it's so wonderful. And gracious and wonderful and fantastic, but it's great. But I do know that unless we have His presence with us, we haven't got anything. I've been an accountant standing up here telling you exciting stories. Let me read to you about Jesus. This is Jesus went to church. And it says, this is Luke 4. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It's good to go to church regularly. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Well, Jesus could have quoted those verses, but he read it. I think it's good to read the Bible in public. I was going to tell you that Jesus is called Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. And we need the anointing more than ever before. What makes us different from every other group of people who are joining together, doing all sorts of wonderful things, is that we have the anointed presence of Jesus in everything that we do. So when we reach out, we don't just reach out with our hands, we reach out with his hand. So we're doing something amazing. And we're going to give a little time of just coming to that point of just pressing into God for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I am desperate for more of God. I really am. God called me when I was 16 at the ministry, and 40 years later, I think I am hungrier for God now than even I was then. I am desperate to see God break through. In fact, I'm at the point now, if somebody else tells me we're on the very edge of breakthrough, I could throw them through a window or some other high obstacle, because I'm fed up being on the... Is anyone sick and tired of being sick and tired? And there comes a time when actually I believe in the history points that we're coming to a time in our nation, and also prophetically of saying that a time of breakthrough is coming to our nation, where we don't have a culture which was made to go to Sunday school. We've got a group of people growing up now who don't even know what Sunday school was. And that, there's good and bad for that. The bad is they don't have any Bible sort of knowledge. The good is they've nothing against it. They know nothing, and so they don't know to be against it. And that's why we have to go in, because the fields are so white to harvest. And Jesus knew that he was anointed. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And there's days when you don't know it. There's days when you do feel it. But sometimes I get up the platform and think, I know I've got it, Kev. I know I've got it. This is it. And then there's the other 360 days in the year. Do you know what I mean? Because the truth is, actually, it's not about me. It is actually about him. And I think it's taken me 57 years to realize it's not about me. It's only about him. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's not it will be. It used to be. It is. We live in the I am moment, because we are living in the I am. In him we live and move and have our being. So we're living in the constant present. I want to tell you are anointed. You may not be the most educated person in your church. You may be. You may not be the greatest Bible teacher. You may not be all these gifted. You may have people in your church who tell you how rubbish you are at this, that, and this thing. But if you are called and anointed, then that's your qualification. That's the qualification. It's the call and the anointing of God that calls you. Jesus said, I am anointed. And he says the anointed is on me. I find it, I don't know, but I struggle with things in myself and not becoming big-headed. I mean, maybe you think, well, that should be easy. But almost you're scared to take his glory. You're scared to handle his glory. And you say, God, I don't, and almost we can get so humble, we forget to actually celebrate what he's done in our lives. You know, I am a miserable sinner, but that's not the truth. And my mom, who's the next authority to the Bible, she taught me that half a truth's a whole lie. So here's half a truth. You're a miserable sinner. Here's the whole truth. You're a miserable sinner who Jesus Christ died for, that you might be forgiven and made to become a child of his, filled with his Spirit and destined to share heaven's glory with him. That's the truth that sets you free. So we can't stop with half the truth. We have to have the whole truth. We're the anointed people. We're called for, to serve him, to do those things for us, and to preach the good news, to be setting captives free. I believe we're called, basically, to the Great Commission and the Great Compassion. That is a call of the church, is to somehow catch the Great Commission, the Great Compassion, the Great Commission to preach the gospel. And the message never changes, but the way we present it must. And so we never change the message, but we must change how we present it. But the message must always go out. But General Booth said, you can't preach the gospel to a man with an empty stomach. The worry would be we feed his stomach and we don't preach the gospel. That's just as bad. We must combine the Great Commission and the Great Compassion. We must preach the gospel and have a social arm that reaches out into the community. When we do both of those, I believe we're fulfilling what Jesus said he was anointed to do and what we are called to do and to reach out. That's the anointing that I want for you and for me. Now, I'm not going to speak long now because we really want to press into God in a moment. But Jesus says something amazing. And if you've been with Jesus, and, you know, the disciples were on a steep learning curve. They had 3.5 years, which is 6 months longer than our Bible students get. But they learned a lot. I mean, they learned that they could never count on a funeral lasting long. They learned that sort of sometimes thousands of people would come to lunch and they'd be okay. They learned that every sick person that came, Jesus healed them. Every blind person saw, every dumb person spoke, every lame person leapt. And then Jesus said, you know, it's really good, but actually it's going to be better when I leave. I mean, do you ever read your Bible? You should. I think, no. If ever you need a proof text that democracy is not good for the church, that would be one of them. Because Jesus would definitely have lost a vote. There'd have been Mr. Chairman amendment. Jesus is not allowed to leave. He can bring this Holy Spirit as well, but he's not allowed to leave because look what's happening. But he actually said, when I go, something more wonderful is going to happen amongst you. Wow. Why? Because he says, I am anointed. But now he said, you will be anointed too. And he actually says, greater things than I do will you do. I've not got time to unpack that, but I think, wow, I'm not sure I'm there yet. I remember being in Malawi, and I was just walking up the street with a man, Andy Senian, and he said to me, so how many people have you raised from the dead? I said, sure, offhand, I can't remember. He just assumed. You're an NLT, you raise people from the dead. So I woke a few people up in church, but it's as close as I get to it. Greater things than you should do. And then when Jesus left, he says to the apostles, go to Jerusalem, but don't dare leave until he comes. Don't dare leave until he comes. But I also got to tell you, almost, the inherent in that phrase, don't wait until he comes, means almost like, don't dare go until he comes. It's almost like, and don't dare stay after he's come either. Because the anointing is for a purpose. The anointing is to do something. We're not called to have the best meetings in Britain. That's a byproduct of his presence. The purpose of his presence is to go into all the world to preach the gospel. We are an outreach community. We are, the Elam Pentecostal Church is birthed in evangelism. It's what we're called to do. It's the one thing you can be assured of his presence if you will preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what? And lo, I am with you always. If you want to be certain of sensing his presence, go somewhere and preach the gospel. He says, don't dare go until he comes. And in Acts chapter 2, he comes. And Acts chapter 3, they go. In fact, it's very interesting that Peter and John, who I have a thing about Peter and John, don't get on, but they're walking out to the temple, and a man just looks at them, and he's asking for alms, which is a shame, because really he needed legs. I thought after lunch we'd say something like that. And he looks at him expecting money. And this is what they say. Silver and gold have I none. That might be your situation. But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why? Because I've just said Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost has just come upon me. The anointing has just come upon me. And this is what I've got. I've got to tell you, that's what we've got. We have the anointing of God on us. We're still Peter and John. We're still the people with the same problems as we had before. We're all as easy to find fault with as we were before. But there is something where we say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And in a moment, Kev's going to lead us. We're going to come into prayer. We're going to push into God for more. Somebody said to me once, you're as full of the Holy Spirit as you want to be. And I think it's a bit simplistic in some ways, but there's a truth to it as well. Like we get satisfied. But it also says in Isaiah 55, a bit further on to the bit that Jesus was quoting, it says that those who are hungry and thirsty and those who have got no money, come buy and eat. Which is interesting because you can't buy without money. In the UK, we call that theft. And so Isaiah isn't talking about something physical. He's saying, listen, if you want the presence, you won't buy it with money. Listen, the currency of the kingdom of God is hunger. If you just, God, just release the hunger of your spirit, he will come. The cry of hunger will bring a mother running to a child. The cry of hunger will bring the Father and his presence to us. And I'm praying, oh God, make me hungry. Make me hungry. Let it come and come and come and come. And 1 minute. I've come today for a fresh touch from God, really. It's almost like when driving up here, I thought, Lord, I don't know what to expect. But I do know what I need. And I just think, Father, in Elam, we just need a fresh touch of your spirit. Not because we're in a bad way, but because we're doing well. We actually need you more when we're doing well. One of the problems in life is you learn more when things are going bad. When things are going bad, you analyze things. When things are going well, you don't. And we have to sort of, when things are going well, say, God, we need you to keep us on the right track. We need to have a fresh anointing. I need fresh anointing. Or I don't want manna goes bad after a day. I can't serve up yesterday's manna to the church. I can't use yesterday's anointing for the ministry. I need a fresh touch from you. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And I don't know how to put this into words because I'm sort of talking from my spirit, really. I know there comes a time when you just will not let go until he blesses you. That's a Jacob anointing. And we're here corporately to do something amazing, and we will do that at the end. We're doing that. But there comes a lot of point today when we all need to actually just be an individual. And actually just come, because we are aware of what people around us are doing, and you know, because we're social beings. But there comes a point today when you have to say, God, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me today. I don't care what they think. I don't care if they're still here when I open up my eyes. I don't care how long I stay here. But I am not leaving. I am not leaving here until I get a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm not leaving. I'm going to let the hunger for your presence come out. And somehow just focus in on him and say, God, this is me. This is you. And if there's a million people here, or if I was here by my own, I cannot be more focused on you. I just need a fresh touch from God.
Amen. Sam, would you come back onto the keyboard with your new hairdo? Thanks. This looks very nice. The Shekinah glory is on it. You know, guys, girls, if you're really hungry, let's stand. Let's just stand before the Lord. I'm a Derbyshire man. We have a saying, it's better felt than telt. And let's just, however you just begin to connect, just in your own heart, just begin to call out but with that hungry heart. I know I'm with David on this. I'm desperate at the start of this year. Been running well for 30 years, but I'm desperate for some fresh input into my life. A fresh touch of that living water. And it really is a case of just now, just calling out to God. Now, some of you, that may be a verbal thing. For some of you, that may be just a cry of your heart. For some of you, may you feel you need to kneel. For some of you, you need to just put your hand. I just don't know. We're all wired up different to receive. But we need to give that message right now, Lord. We're just open for a fresh touch from heaven on our lives right now. Dear God, please. Would you rend the heavens and come down? Would you rend the heavens and come down? We're desperate, Lord. We're desperate for you. Let's call out to him privately, quietly, noisily. However you respond to God, if you need to move and just to walk around, just whatever helps you to facilitate contact, connection with the Almighty, just do that right now. Yes, we're corporate, but we're also individual. And you know how you're wired. You know what you need. You know that it's him. Father God, would you come by your Spirit right now? Would you come, Lord, right now? Hungry for the anointing, Lord, that would heal those bodies that we heard about in France with Pastor LaRue. We want it, Lord, in Scotland. We want it in Wales. We want it in England. We want it in the cities. We want it in the towns. But Lord, right now we're saying we want it in us individually. We come as your children. Holy Spirit, have your way. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Press in. Hungry men, hungry women. Hungry, Lord, for you. Hungry for the anointing. We're hungry for you, Dad. We're hungry for you. Increase your blessing. Increase your presence on these men and women, Lord.